3, 4, 5. Auzu billahi mineşşeytanirracim. Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. Elhamdülillahi rabbil alamin. Vessalatu vesselamu ala eşrefil enbiya'i vel murselin ve ala ahli beytihi tayyibin tahirin. Allahumma salli ala Muhammed ve ala Muhammed. Ve ala ahli beytihi tayyibin tahirin. Amma ba'd. Elhamdülillah. All praise belongs to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that we continue with tafsir of Surah Al-Munafiqun. We started yesterday and covered the first session. In the first session, we discussed about the surah, its importance, and when should we read it. And we also discussed about a tip for the month of Ramadan, and that was saying the prayers on time. Today we'll do verses 1, 2 and 3. And we'll also look at some of the hadiths regarding Munafiqun. Because these hadiths will prepare us for the remaining two sessions to understand the psychology and the mental makeup of this Munafiqeen, that how they act with people. So as usual, let us begin with the first verse of the surah. A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajeem. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Iza ja'aka al-munafiquna qalu nashhadu innaka rasulullah. Wallahu ya'lamu innaka rasuluhu. Wallahu yashhadu innal munafiqina lakadhibun. Amanna billah. Sadaqallahu al-'aliyyul 'azim. Allahumma salli 'ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad. Subhanallah. So before we get into the discussion, just simple translation, right? After Bismillah, the surah begins by Iza ja'aka al-munafiqun. Since it's the month of Ramadan, we discussed also about reciting Quran. So just a brief mention, Iza ja'aka al-munafiqun. You can see there is that ja has a madda. It's important. Even for example, when you recite Iza ja'a nasrullahi wal fath. So this is important. Iza ja'aka al-munafiqun. قَالُوا نَشْهَدُ إِنَّكَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ. O Muhammad, O Prophet, O Messenger, Munafiqeen are going to come to you, the hypocrites, and they will say, نَشْهَدُ إِنَّكَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ. We bear witness, we testify that you are the Messenger of Allah. وَاللَّهُ يَعْلَمُ إِنَّكَ رَسُولُ. Of course, Allah knows about it. And Allah also confirms that you are the, His Messenger. وَاللَّهُ يَشْهَدُ إِنَّ الْمُنَافِقِينَ لَكَاذِبُونَ. But Allah testifies that they are liars, Munafiqeen are liars. So the interesting point here is you can see the word shahad, shahida, right? We say shahada kalimatain, right? When a person becomes Muslim, he recites shahada. So they give the shahada to the Prophet that you are the Messenger of Allah. Before Allah says that their shahada is wrong, Allah also confirms that indeed Muhammad is the Messenger, His Messenger. But Wallahu yashadu, same word, Wallahu yashadu. إِنَّ الْمُنَافِقِينَ لَكَاذِبُونَ. That Allah bears witness. Allah asserts, Allah testifies that the Munafiqeen are liars. This is very harsh, right? And why is it so, inshallah, discuss. But as usual, before we go to the surah itself, let us go and discuss something about month of Ramadan. Because this is a special month. Yesterday we discussed about the importance of saying prayers. And we also looked at how Rasulullah used to say his prayers. He used to stand on his tiptoes, right? And used to pray so much that in fact Allah told him that, oh, do not distress yourself, right? Taha. So today we discuss about Quran because this is the season also of the Quran. And I'm sure that all of us, I have no doubt, because I know this thing, people come to us, even some youths who never recite Quran in the month of Ramadan. About 1 week ago or 10 days ago, one youth wrote me from Edmonton. He said, can you please send me a PDF of the Quran, Arabic and English, so that I can read and also understand the meaning. Now, can you do that so I can put on my tablet and recite? So you can see that we do recite Quran, right? This is the season. How do we recite the Quran? This is important. And this is where I would like to discuss. This is a dua from the 6th Imam Jafar Sadiq, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, wherein Imam alayhi salam is telling us that how to recite the Quran. It's a beautiful dua. And we have shortened this dua. And we also given the reference, Makarimul Akhlaq, which is very old book of Sheikh Tabrizi, mentioned this dua, right? Imam said, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, Allahumma inni nashartu ahdak wa kitabak. Oh Allah, I open your page and your book, you see? So as, for example, you're holding the Quran and you're opening, for example, this is the Quran, right? This is the Quran I have in front of me. So this is the Quran, for example, if you see this Quran, and if you open this Quran, it says, Allahumma inni nashartu ahdaka kitabaka. Oh Allah, I have, you know, opened your page and your book, right? And then how do we say? Said, no, faj'al nadri fi ibadah. No, and in fact, make my looking it a worship, my looking at this Quran as a worship. No, and then he says, it is important that even looking at the Quran is a worship. And this is interesting because now today, for example, you find in every Muslim home, even Muslim masajid, Muslim centers, you find Quranic calligraphy, right? All over. Where did this come from? This come from this, the origin of this hadith, right? Of the sixth imam, which says that looking at the, you know, verses of Quran also is ibadat. So because we don't believe in putting any kind of statues or any kind of picture of Rasulullah, of Nauzubillah, of Allah, right? Allah does not have a picture, but we don't believe in those things, right? We don't have, for example, as Christians, for example, if you go to the churches and they've got, for example, statues of, you know, Mary and Jesus and all that, we don't have those things, right? So what do? We take the verses of Quran and in a good calligraphy, we just put in front of there. So you say, faj'al nadari fi ibadah. My looking at the just Quran should be a worship. Wa qira'ati fihi fikran. And then when I recite this Quran, let me be full of thought, of pondering, of reflection, of fikri fi atibara. And as I try to reflect on the verses of Quran, because these are the verses from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, these are, you know, divine verses, right? These are divine signs. Let there be a cause of for me to seek lesson, atibar, no? Let it be a cause of deriving lessons, you can see, as I do tadabbur on it, as I reflect on it. وَلَا تَجْعَلْ قِرَاءَتِي لَا تَدَبُّرَ فِيهَا. And in fact, Imam said, do not make my recitation without any kind of reflection. So it's not just mere reading that I want to complete the entire Quran in this month. It is good, yes, it's mustahab, not only once. Now some of the hadith says they try to complete reciting Quran 3 times in this month. So yes, we are trying to complete it, but mu'mineen and mu'minat, brothers and sisters, keep in mind, I would rather complete, for example, 1 Quran. I would rather do, for example, 20 sipahs. I would rather do 15 sipahs. By the same time, when I read, I look at it, you know, and try to ponder over it. So Imam says, وَلَا تَجَلْ كِرَاتِ كِرَاتًا لَا تَدَبُّرَ فِيهَا وَلِجْعَلْنِي أَتَدَبَّرُ آيَاتِ وَأَحْكَامِ. But make me, you know, rather make me ponder over its verses and its rules. That what is Allah trying to say? What are those rules? How can I implement them? Right? You can see, إِنَّكَ أَنْتَ رَوْفُ رَحِيمٌ. Surely you are kind and merciful. So it's a beautiful dua. As we recite the Quran, keep this dua in mind. In fact, recite this dua and seek Allah's help that we achieve what Imam is trying to tell us. No. Now we go to this ayat, right? إِذَا جَاءَكَ الْمُنَافِقُونَ, Allah says, that, O Muhammad, when munafiqeen come to you, the word nifaq, which is hypocrisy, no, what is it? Where did it come from? Nifaq, the root word is nafaka, noon, fa, and kaf, which means the underground tunnels used for camouflage or flight. You know, there are certain tunnels people make, for example, so that, you know, if enemy comes, then you try to enter there and you just come out other. This is known as nafaq, right? Tunnels. For example, even if you go to Saudi Arabia today, you find that when you go from one place to another place, there are all those, you know, tunnels. So you go through, right? And these tunnels is known as nafaq. Some animals like field mice and lizards, they dig nests with 2 holes. So that, for example, when the enemy comes, they can escape, right? Similarly, hypocrites also have clandestine ways through which they may flee at the time of urgency. They come to you, for example, and discuss and praise you everything, or they come to Muslims and talk good about Islam, right? But when they find an opportunity, they will just run away and talk against Islam, right? And Islam, Muslims have suffered this a lot from many people. So similarly, you know, when it comes to belief, there are 4 kinds of people, right? So similarly, hypocrites, for example, ways through to which they may flee at the time of urgency, right? Hypocrites. Now, when it comes to belief, there are four kinds of people. Believe in heart and act on it. These are believers, mu'mineen, right? Believe in heart, but do not act on it. Disobedient, right? Do not believe in heart, but pretend to believe. People, there is no belief in the heart, but there's a pretension. These are the hypocrites. These are the munafiqeen. And then there is a group of people which do not believe, nor do they act on it. These are disbelievers, you see. So there are mu'mineen, there are asin, those who disobey, right? Those are Muslims, but disobey, don't do, for example, don't follow. Then there are hypocrites, munafiqeen, then there are kafirin, right? The earliest instances of hypocrisy trace back to the Rasulullah's hijrah to Medina. So keep this in mind, that when Rasulullah was in Makkah, at that time, he did not face the munafiqeen. Why? Simple reason. Very simple. Because in Makkah, the Quraysh and the enemy and the opponents of Rasulullah, they were powerful, right? So since they were powerful, Prophet himself was, and his Muslims were weak, being persecuted, being followed all the time, right? So the enemy, the hypocrites never felt any kind of threat. So they did not show hypocrisy. Either they sided with the enemy because the enemy was powerful, or some of them became Muslims and became sincere Muslims, right? So you can see. But the moment Prophet moved now to Medina, what happens? The people of Medina welcome him with two hands. No, they welcome him, they make him a leader, because they used to have a lot of problems between themselves. No, and then they made him leader. So now there were some people, munafiqeen, some people who did not like this thing. But they saw that if we oppose Muhammad, if we oppose Muslims, if we oppose Islam, then we'll be crushed because they become powerful. So they found ways to oppose. Why? Through hypocrisy, right? So you can see this now in Medina. It's because the enemies became weakened, since it was hard at times to impossible to explicitly deny Islamic faith. It was difficult for them, right? The defeated enemies made attempts at destructive stratagems in the new guise and thereby pretended to join the Muslims, but they pursued their clandestine measures. Although they joined the Muslims, but at the same time, behind the back of Muslims, they continued planning and plotting and scheming, right? There were almost no hypocrites in Makkah, since powerful opponents could utter and do whatever they liked against the Islamic faith. As we know, for example, how they treated Ammar and what his parents, right? This was the enemy they were doing. So this is how hypocrisy started, right? Keep in mind, the threat posed to a society by hypocrites is worse than the enemies. And all Muslim societies have suffered a lot, believe me. Even up to today, if you see, there are many Muslim nations who are leaders, for example, wear Islamic dress. On the day of Eid, they are the ones who lead the prayers, right? But they do exactly opposite against Islam, against Muslim society, against what Quran has taught. They would rather follow their masters who are financing them, right? So this is a threat which is posed to society, is worse than enemies, right? Islamic society has received worst blows from the hypocrites. And it is because of this that the Holy Quran uses the harshest words against them and attacks them more than any other kind of enemy, right? You'll find that in the Quran, in Islam, as you'll see also Hadith, Islamic literature, there is always an attack against these enemies because they have been very, dangerous, right? The threat is big. And that is why Quran is so emphatic, right, about them. Hypocrites emphatically claim to be believers, but their hearts entertain no belief. They come to the Prophet with all the show and pomp and all kind of dresses, and they praise the Prophet, they praise Islam, emphatically, right? But in their hearts, there is that animosity. And there are people, honestly, there are people. I remember when I was very young, one day, a great person who taught me how to bind the books and brought interest towards Islam reading when I was very young. Initially, my first reading of Islam was in Gujarati. So he would collect all those books for me and taught me how to bind them, right? I had all these things. Donated them to the library, Mark library, right? These books. If you go to Mark, when the Mark opens library, you can go there, right? And you'll see some of the books which I had bound them. These were there. So he told me something interesting. He said that there was a person who did not accept the Khilafah of Imam Ali. He always had doubts that Imam Ali is the Khalifa after Rasulullah. But he did not say because he was living amongst us, right? But when one day he came sick, at that time, you know, suddenly he asked this question. He said, but no, I'm trying to don't understand this thing. How can Ali be the Khalifa after Rasulullah? What about others? He said this thing, subhanAllah, and he died. This was no. So you can imagine he did not have time even to get clarification. He could have just sought clarification and become a mu'min, but he had that doubt, harboring that doubt, right? So hypocrites emphatically claim to be believers, but their hearts entertain no belief. Their testimony constitute truth, but since they disbelieved in it, their testimony was regarded as untruth, right? Although, for example, as we said in the beginning, right, as the hadith, as the ayat said, that they came to the Prophet and said that you are Rasulullah. So yes, we give shahadat to Rasulullah. So their testimony is correct. But because they did not mean their heart, it was considered as a lie, right? Then no, Rasulullah has said, I fear neither the believers nor disbelievers, right? Though I fear hypocrites, right? Again, this is from Enlightened Commentary, which we said yesterday is available online, volume 18, this hadith I'm quoted. Now, what is the cause of revelation? Sababun Nuzul of this surah and these verses, especially first eight verses. Listen to this story, subhanAllah. There was somebody by the name Abdullah ibn Ubay. He was the leader of the hypocrites. And he used to live in Medina and always try to find ways to oppose Rasulullah. In fact, he died just before the death of Rasulullah. No. So one day there was some kind of disagreement between Muhajirun and Ansar. The Muhajirun are people who came from Makkah to Medina. And Ansar are people of Medina who welcomed the Muslims and helped them. So they were known as Ansar, right? So there was some kind of disagreement between Muhajirun and Ansar. So he taunted the Muhajirun, this Abu Dharr. He reported Ansar telling that for giving shelter and support to the Holy Prophet and believers from Makkah. He said, why did you, even welcome them? See, they are so poor, they are penniless, they are a burden to the society. Why did you do this thing? Why did you welcome Muhammad and his companions and all this thing, right? So he found the opportunity when he found this thing that there is some kind of tension between Muhajirun and Ansar. He found that opportunity to talk against the Muhajirun. And even he said that they are a liability to us because they came penniless, right? Now, subhanAllah, you can see how Allah makes his own way, right? Zayd bin Arkam, who happened to be nephew of this Abdullah ibn Ubay, his own nephew, he reported these words of Abdullah ibn Ubay to Rasulullah. Now, Rasulullah, of course, saw that Zayd is a young person, Abdullah is an old person. How would Abdullah ibn Ubay say these things? No? So Rasulullah did not pay much attention to what Zayd said, but then this is what said, right? Ubaydullah, who was the son of Abdullah ibn Ubay, subhanAllah, you can see people who were so much committed to Islam. Ubaydullah, who was the son of Abdullah ibn Ubay, when he heard this thing coming from Zayd, his cousin, he said to Rasulullah, that Rasulullah, if you decide to punish my father on account of what is uttered, then give me the opportunity, I'll be the first one to go and kill him. SubhanAllah, you can see their faith, right? A young boy is ready to fight his father on account of the bad things he uttered against Islam and Rasulullah, right? But subhanAllah, Prophet bade the young man not to think badly of his father and be kind to him. SubhanAllah, you see how kind was Rasulullah. That in spite of that, instead of just trying to incite him, he says, no, respect your father and be kind to him. He's your father, end of the day, right? SubhanAllah. But when these verses were revealed, subhanAllah, then Allah, Prophet realized that indeed what Zayd said was correct and what Abdullah was saying was against the Muhajirin, against Islam, right? So they can see how Allah came to the rescue of the Prophet and Islam and Muslims when the hypocrites were trying to plan against them, right? The next ayat says, اتخذوا أيمانهم جنة فصدوا عن سبيل الله إنهم ساء ما كانوا يعملون. See what they said. اتخذوا أيمانهم جنة. They take their oath as a shelter. Fasaddun sabillah. And then turn away from the Allah's way, right? Innahum sa'a ma kanu yamun. Because what they did, when Prophet came to know that what Abdullah ibn Ubay said, he called Abdullah, right? Rasulullah called him. He said, did you say this thing? He lied. He said, no, I did not that he... And then he said, no, don't you know I'm a Muslim? You know, how can I even say? Do you expect me to do this thing? So, attakhadhu aymanahum. In fact, here you can see Quran is using the plural form, they. So it was not only Abdullah, but Abdullah ibn Ubay and all his team, right? There was a group of munafiqeen. اتخذوا ايمانهم جنة as a shield فسدوا عن سبيل الله. And then of course they turn away from the path of Allah, right? إنهم ساء ما كانوا يعملون. How evil is what they do. In other words, first of all, they say ill things against Prophet, against Islam, against Muhajireen. Then they come to the Prophet and lie more and say that, oh, we are Muslims, right? So they take that belief as a shield, right? Agapuya, whose tafsir also, Agapuya has his footnotes on some of the verses in S.C. Mir Ahmad Ali's translation. If you see S.C. Mir Ahmad Ali's translation, you find that Agapuya has a footnote there, right? Whereby he says the history and modus operandi of the hypocrites have been made clear by these verses. If you look at these verses, number 1 to 8 in the Surah Al-Munafiqun, he says how they operate, these people. What is the characteristic of the Munafiqeen? And the history has been made very clear, subhanAllah. So try to read his notes. Now I've given you all the reference, right? There's another verse in Quran, Surah 58, Mujadila, ayat 16. You can see it is similar to what the verse we discussed, right? It says, اتخذوا أيمانهم جنة فسدوا عن سبيل الله فلهم عذاب مهين. Now Allah says, they make their oaths to serve as a cover to so they turn away from Allah's way, so they shall have an amazing testament. Here Allah says, Sama kana yamalun, earlier, right? In this ayat, Allah says, Falahum adabun muheen. They will have an amazing, a humiliating punishment, you'll see, on account of what they do. So you can see how harsh is Quran against the munafiqeen. Mumineen, especially if you have sometimes a friend or a brother or an uncle, or even, for example, you know, a nephew or son, right, who has doubts about Islam. Tell him or her that why don't you get clarifications instead of just harboring these doubts, you know, and then always try to pretend you are Muslim, you know? Because Allah says, "Fullahum adabun muheen." They will have a humiliating punishment, right? They take false oaths to conceal their evil deeds and to save their life and property. As in Islam, the blood, property, and honor of Muslims were protected by the oath of allegiance. So you can see when Abdullah ibn Ubay and his team, you know, when they came to Rasulullah and started giving qasam that no, we are Muslims, you know why they did? Because if they said they were not Muslims, then their life, their property, their honor, you know, will be just not be safe, right? Because they were Muslims, now they are turning away. So just to save that thing, right? They try to just lie and give oath, right? Wrong. The word Junnah and Subhanallah, this is it. The beauty Quran has. Even in the words, the choice of words, my teachers used to say always, there is wisdom in it, subhanAllah. Every word, right? Allah says, اتخذوا أيمانهم جنة. جنة is a shield which is used to protect against, you know, the arrows. When the arrow has been thrown by an enemy, you protect your body by using the shields. So that is جنة. So you can imagine such expressions interestingly reflect that they are always at war with believers. So hypocrites are so dangerous that they're not satisfied, for example, just to oppose you once. They always find opportunities. And you find in Medina, when Rasulullah was there, every time you find Quranic verses. Whenever Prophet says something, does something, Munafiqeen will always find ways to find the fault in it. Even today, for example, you see the press, right? Just look at press. Some of the main, I'm not going to name them, but some of the big media, right? You find they always find, you know, something wrong against Islam and Muslims. The moment, for example, something is there, they will try to blow out of proportion, right? So this is what they do. They are always at war, right? This is why Allah says, and then another verse, Surah Al-Barat. Remember, we said yesterday, Surah Al-Barat, Surah Tawbah has 100 verses discussing about Munafiqeen. So one of them verses, they said, وَيَحْلِفُونَ بِاللَّهِ إِنَّهُمْ لَمِنْكُمْ وَمَا هُمْ مِنْكُمْ وَلَكِنَّهُمْ قَوْمٌ يَفْرَكُونَ. Oh Muhammad, they swear by Allah that they are indeed of you, but they are not of you. Yet they are afraid to appear in their true colors. The true color is what? Disbelief. The true color is what? Hypocrisy. The true color is what? Just to oppose the prophet, right? You can see. We go to the next verse, right? ذَلِكَ بِأَنَّهُمْ آمَنُوا ثُمَّ كَفَرُوا فَتُبِعَ عَلَىٰ قُلُوبِهِمْ فَهُمْ لَا يَفْقَهُونَ. This is why, because they first believe, right? Then they disbelieve. So a seal is set upon their hearts so that they do not understand. Now this is very serious, this ayat. Again, if you know, for example, of a son, of a daughter, of a nephew, of somebody who has harboring doubts about Islam, now you can see Allah says, فَتُبِعَ عَلَىٰ قُلُوبِهِمْ. There is a seal on their hearts. Then they will not see the light, divine light. Do you see this thing? It's very important. So, ذَلِكَ بِإِنَّمْ آمَنُوا, because they believed. ثُمَّ كَفَرُوا, then they disbelieved. فَتُبِعَ عَلَىٰ قُلُوبِهِمْ. So, a seal was set on their hearts, right? فَهُمْ لَا يَفْقَهُونَ, and they will never understand the true reality, right? This verse means either that the hypocrites first believed and then came to disbelieve, or they affirm with their tongues, although they disbelieve with the heart. This was understanding of Qurtubi, one of the Mufassir, right? Another tafsir says, the verse suggests that the hypocrites seemingly converted to Islam, but uttering the kalma of Shahadatain out of fear, greed, or other bad intentions. For example, they came to the Prophet and said, no, Ashhadu la ilaha illallah, Ashhadu anna Rasulullah. For example, they came and said, we recited the kalma, that I bear witness that there is no God except Allah and Muhammad is the messenger. But they just did out of fear or greed or other intentions, right? Now listen to this thing, subhanAllah. Human heart has two dimensions. One turns towards the heavenly and angelic realm, and the other turns towards the earthly and satanic world, right? When the former is strengthened, it entertains the remembrance of Allah and receives the divine inspiration, but angels may frequent. Do you see this thing? So there are two dimensions to heart. When the heart turns towards the heavenly and angelic realm, when you turn towards, you know, you'll find that, you know, when this is strengthened, right? It entertains Allah's remembrance. It receives ilham, divine inspirations, where angels may frequent, right? And then you'll find, but if they turn towards the latter dimension, even latter dimension takes upper hand, that means the satanic, right? Devils tempt him and lead him or her to corruption, right? Lead him or her to corruption. So let me end before we end, let's look at this hadith. The human heart has two ears. One ear, one hears the angels and makes men commit righteous good deeds. The other ear hears the devils and thereby inclines towards the committing evil. So not only that, for example, our head has two ears, but even our heart has two ears. Keep in mind, there is a ear which listens to angelic things and divine things, right? And there is an ear which listens to satanic whisperings and satanic waswasa. So keep in mind and always try to keep our heart clean. Before I end, this is the next slide, which we shall discuss tomorrow. These are some of the verses, some of the hadiths we've taken on nifaq and hypocrisy. Just have a look at them as I end this today's presentation with a dua. Ya Allah, we pray to you that give us tawfiq in this holy month of Ramadan, the fact that you have given us opportunity and to witness this holy month of Ramadan. Now that we've started fasting, Ya Allah, give us tawfiq that we are able to fast sincerely. Ya Allah, remove all the kind of obstacles which may come in the way and give us tawfiq that we are able to complete the month of fasting. Ya Allah, in this month, as we say our prayers, give us tawfiq that we say our prayers with concentration, on time and following all the required rules, right? As we read the Quran, Ya Allah, give us the tawfiq that we recite the Quran this month and we try to understand the Quran and we reflect on the Quran. And more important, give us the tawfiq that we are able to actually, you know, follow and implement the teachings of Quran as taught and practiced by the Prophet and his Ahlul Bayt. Wa salli Allahumma wa alihi tahirin. Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad.